Who has the first question? Go ahead.
So through your life...
This is only for recording, so speak up. I'll repeat the question as well.
So through your life and every ounce of success you've found, what's something that you did in the beginning that you thought was perfectly okay and normal that you've learned it's not?
What did I do when I started and had all this success? Something that seemed to be perfectly normal, but through the journey, I found out it's not okay. Credibility. My understanding of credibility was an understanding of a shaded credibility. I felt as if I believed something to be true, that it was okay to oversell it, to back-end sell it, lie sometimes, manipulate, or even sometimes cheat it, because I believed it. And I built and made millions and millions of dollars because I am a great overseller, back-end seller, liar, manipulator, and cheater. It's genetic and energetic. I've inherited that. And I justified it because I believed what I was saying to be true, but I wanted to make sure that you would also think it's true, so I'd oversell, back-end sell, lie, manipulate, and cheat. You can see this in the car industry. There's a lot of great cars, and the guy sells you something at a good price, but he's oversold you, back-end sold you, lied to you to get you to buy that good deal. And it ruins the experience. And so when I was young, I wish somebody would have told me about integrity and to challenge myself to articulate in integrity a quantitative value to exceed what I'm asking for. And I think it's a gift. I have a very clear understanding of value, of what it is and how to articulate it. And I teach people how to do that. It's a powerful tool to know that value is giving people more of what they like, take away what they don't like, more of what works, take away doesn't work, more of what they know or take away what they don't know, which a lot of people do. Engineers are great at this. They can articulate value like no, we don't understand it a lot of times, but they can articulate the value, but they don't articulate the value to exceed what they're asking for. So they don't put it into context. So you're lost going, hey, that's great, but I'm not going to give you 100, 100,000 or 100 million for that because I'm not comfortable. I'm going to get more back. Great question, by the way. I've never heard that one.
Yeah, I follow you at thank you for everything you've done for the community.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you, as a person myself that has been through success and I have had a lot of like ups and downs, I wanted to ask you, what's your definition of success?
Yeah. So the question is, what is my definition of success since I've had so many ups and downs? So it's really simple to me. Success is a capability. I'll repeat that. Success is a capability. A capability of being able to enjoy what you don't like or don't love consistently, every day, persistently, without quit, in the pursuit of what you want, your potential. Not what other people want, not what's missing, not what you don't have. So if you're capable of enjoying what you don't like or don't love or other people don't like or love in a consistent, persistent pursuit of what you desire, that's success. It also makes it easier because if you can enjoy what other people don't like or love, or you don't like or love, and you do that consistently every day without quitting, life will tell you all its secrets. What does that mean? It'll give you its cheat codes. Life becomes easy. Why? Because it elevates your awareness to the interference or the dis-easy that you're putting in your life. You see, if you have faith, who here has faith in their God? Almost everybody has faith in their God. Well, if you truly have faith, then all you need to figure out is, what am I doing to interfere with my faith? Not I got to go get something. It drives me crazy. I get paid millions of dollars. People want me to help them find their why. Anybody have ever asked anyone, help me, man, find my why, find my purpose. I got tons of money. I got no purpose. I got no bullshit. What you need is someone to teach you how to apply your why. So when someone tells me I'm in search of my why, I said, do you have faith? Normally, they're like, oh, I have tons of faith. I believe in X God, whatever they name their God. And I'm happy your God is how I explain things to people because it differs for all of us. They have different names, different shapes, and different sizes. But most of our gods, they're bigger than us, love us, protect us, for most of us, more than our moms. They're powerful. So if you want to apply your why, then you have to really test your faith and say, I really have faith. What am I doing to interfere with it? Yes.
Do you ever thought like quitting?
Or? Yeah. Good question. So question is, have you ever thought of quitting? Every day. Every day, I have the same exact feelings that every other human being has. Fuck this. I'm pissed. I got to need to be right. Need to be offended. Need to be inferior, superior, or separate. I feel guilty, resentful, or worried. Imagine if I could take you all back on however old you are and said every moment of your life that you spent feeling offended, guilty, resentful, or worried, I'd give back to you. And all the money from using that time over again would be given to charity. What type of donation do you think you'd be giving? It'd be incredible. So I believe in faith. I believe in a pragmatic methodology of figuring out what am I doing to interfere with my faith so I can apply my why more of the incremental time, which is 24 hours. There's only one guarantee in your day. There is only one guarantee of tomorrow. And I'll guarantee it for all of you, unless it's the last day of your life, 24 hours. I can't guarantee the weather. If I could, I'd be a billionaire. I can't guarantee crypto prices, stock market, real estate, interest rates, politics. I can't guarantee any of that for you, but I will guarantee every single one of you 24 hours tomorrow, unless you die tomorrow. So what are you going to do with it? What stands in your way? What's interfering with your 24 hours? I'll tell you, circumstance. Circumstance creates uncertainty, interference to faith. So you have to develop a relationship with the circumstance. One of the ways you do that is to have non-negotiable behavior every single day with exceptions and a promise to yourself that when I make an exception, like for example, that motherfucker in the back right there, that big Samoan looking dude, he kept me up till 1:40 in the morning and I had a 4:30 flight. I have a non-negotiable minimum of 7 hours of sleep. It killed me, but he's worth it. And so I told myself when I landed in California at 8 that the next 24 hours, my number one priority without exception is going to be to get 7 hours of sleep, because one time is an exception, two times it's a pattern. It's a behavioral pattern. I'm creating a habit I don't want. So when I have non-negotiable behavior, I've taken out the greatest interference between me and my faith, which is circumstance, uncertainty. I'm very certain for half of my day, 7 hours of sleep, an hour with my health, hour minimum, hour with my family, hour with my faith, hour with my finance, and then I study time and relativity. By the way, you don't have to study Einstein to understand relativity. Relativity is meaning. That's it. What is the meaning I'm giving it to it? Because that's what makes it relative. So when I lost everything, the meaning I gave it was relative to where I wanted to be. It wasn't punishment anymore. Was it punishment when it happened? I told everybody on stage, yeah, it was freaking punishment. But I quickly gave it a meaning of protection, promotion, love, and perfection. I gave it a meaning to align what I was going to do, say, think, feel, and believe in the next 24 hours. I'm going to repeat that. I aligned the meaning of my past to what I was going to do, say, think, feel, and believe in the next 24 hours, because that's the only guarantee or certainty I have. Unless it was the last day of my life, then I fucked it, right? Oops, I should have done something different. But I'm willing to take that statistical chance, because I also know if I live with that relationship and relativity to circumstance, I'll probably live better and longer. Notice there's a whole bunch of longevity people out there talking about living longer. I want to live better and longer. Better and longer. Don't just say I want to live longer, because I do not want to curse anybody here to be hooked to a machine till you're 120. That's effed up. I want you to live better and longer. Imagine if you're better at 111 than you were at 57. I'm better at 57 than I was at 50. And I'll be better at 60 than 57. And I'm living longer without interfering with my faith, the infinite power, the infinite energy, the infinite information that make my life easy if I minimize the interference within the context of 24 hours. Very good questions. Jeff. No, give it. I need a question. Give it. Give it. Question. All right, thank you. What's your name?
Johnston.
Thank you, Johnston.
Yeah. So I kind of speak on a lot of stuff that you just mentioned. When it comes down to purpose, alignment, fulfillment, when and how did you find your purpose?
When and how did I find my purpose? When somebody, the guy's name was Dr. Wayne Dyer. I asked him the same question. like when and how and why or whatever did you find your purpose? And he said, David, the thoughts about your purpose are your purpose. And I left there like Johnson's face is showing, going, what the fuck does that mean? Right? What does that mean? The thoughts about my purpose are my purpose. Well, what he meant was we're all part of an infinite, abundant, unified system of thought. So at the core, he was testing my faith and my understanding and awareness of infinite. There's an infinite amount of thoughts. And so my purpose would have to be part of the whole. And so what I was thinking on of the infinite thoughts, that became my purpose. And so I became very purposeful. And in Napoleon Hill, for example, we talk about definiteness of purpose. I will completely say 98% of the people, if you've ever read Outwitting the Devil, right? 98% of the people are drifters because they're searching for purpose. And so when things go bad, they go bad. They're attached completely to outcomes. They have no faith. Faith says, there's no evidence, and the evidence is contrary to where I want to be, but I'm going to get there because I'm protected, promoted, loved, and perfected. As long as I'm intentional about what I'm doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing, I don't need to understand outcomes because I don't understand them anyway.
I believe in purpose for me personally. Physician associate, academic, and private now. Some of the challenges, and I would ask your advice. I'm a veteran as well.
Thank you.
Overcame a blood disease. So my purpose shifted. I actually included that in a lecture recently myself geared towards veterans. So obviously we know the healthcare in this country, and I do anti-aging regenerative medicine. So question I have for you is what kind of advice has been very challenging to be kind of commingled but lateral to the VA system because of the problems and issues it's at. So doing some in the private sector, raising money and funding for that entity. And there's some that are going on around the country. What advice would you give? Because it's not like a product line of distribution intangible. These are people. And obviously purpose is a huge part of what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. So he's having challenges as a physician to help the VAs and our veterans. He's a veteran as well and a physician assistant. And needs funding. This is the same question everybody should be asking, which is, hey, this is what I'm doing. Do you know anyone that can help me? Right? So this is a question. Do you know anyone that can help me? He does. She does. The first thing that you want to do is find someone that sits in a situation that you want to do. And remember, we were talking about values, giving people more what works, doesn't work, what they know, doesn't know, what they like and don't like. When we do that, it enables us to ask two questions. Would it help you if? Would it help you if I introduce people that fund shit like that? Yes, of course it would. Here they are. These two people I know do that. Now, you can imagine if I can just do that in a small circle of people at the same frequency, if you join a group of people that have the same frequency, how easy things become and how influential and impactful they become. That can change your whole life and your whole purpose by being able to find who helped me and who I can help. So one question, would it help you if? Two question, do you know anyone that could help me? I listen, I can't remember all the facts. All I knew is he was asking, do you know anyone that helped me? And I knew a couple people that are standing here that can, and I probably know another 50 people in the millions of people in my neighborhood that can. I invite all of you to join our neighborhood, right? I don't know where Nick is or what he's doing. Nick, I don't know what Nick is or what he's doing, but everybody should join our neighborhood. So Jeff belongs to it. Bucky belongs to it. David Williams. We have a group of people that are committed to helping one another and know people that help one another. And I give them overlap agreements, which are non-binding agreements that say, hey, man, if you help me, most of the time I can help you by doing this. If you help me, vice versa, most of the time. But it allows you to change your mind. It allows you to work within the context of the reality. There's no binding litigation, but we're all here to help one another. So if you want to be part of that abundant thing, this is a perfect example of what I do all day long, virtually and in person. And the guys shaking their heads are part of our neighborhood to do that. And so Nick, raise your hand. He'll get you into our group and get your information to make sure you get this every single day. Specifically, Mondays, I answer questions and make intros. Every day, the group is available. I do free trainings on Wednesday and Friday along as well for you. So please use that. You got it. Thank you.
Hi, David. So I wanted to know, what was your subject of your talk tonight, today, and why did you choose that subject? I missed.
Yeah, no, that's fine. What was the subject of my talk today, and why did I choose that topic? The subject was the infinite loop of giving, which is the never-ending flow. That Bucky gave me that terminology, the never-ending flow, which gives fuel to the infinite loop of giving. So what I taught and why I taught it is that I have seen why people are not living in abundance. They want to, but they either are afraid to give, right? We talked about emotional, you have financial literacy, financial intelligence, and emotional financial intelligence. I know a lot of people that have a ton and they just hold on to it. No better way to lose it, by the way. They hold on to it. The universe is not aligned with that shit. Two, people have problems like I did seeing what they're given. So no problem giving away everything, but you see punishment in giving away everything, so you lose your faith. Oh, well, I thought the more I gave, the more I receive. Why aren't I receiving? Oh, because you're not seeing what you are receiving. You're receiving more than you're giving, just like the Bible say and the philosophy say, give more, you'll receive more, but you're just not using gratitude and forgiveness to see it. Elevate your awareness to being and seeing what you're being given. A biggest one of interference is people don't like to receive for a simple reason. They don't understand that when you receive, you're making someone else feel their highest self, because everyone feels their highest self when they're able and capable of helping other people, and you're cheating them. Every time you say, no, it's okay, or you don't let them pick up the check, or you don't let them open a door. There's a whole, it has no measurement, good or bad. It's just this idea that when I receive from you, you feel terrific.
Yes.
And when I say no, you feel like shit. Why, if I'm a giving person, wouldn't I give you a highest honor of being able to receive what you're offering to me? And then more importantly, the last piece that I taught was to ask for more. For me, the ultimate act of faith is to ask for help. Ask for what you want. It is a confirmation of saying, my God or your God, I believe there's more than enough for everyone, more than enough of everything. And so here's my order, because I know there's more than enough. I'm just going to be able to give more with it and be given more with it and receive more with it. Now I can ask for more than more. So I talked about this never-ending flow of abundance in the infinite loop of giving to exemplify where people interfere with that loop and why they don't have what they want to have in life, because they're interfering with it. I am wealthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? Am I not giving enough? Am I not being given enough? Am I not receiving enough? Am I not asking for enough? If you do all four of those, you will have more than enough. Yes. Great question, by the way. Sure. And then
On your website, you talked about your who. And I wanted to ask, I know you kind of got into it there, but you asked about seeking help. I'm assuming also mentorship. How do you suggest that we find those mentors and we find those networks? I know you're saying.
I'm going to be bold. She asked, how do I find those mentors, right? Know your who. Who can you help and who can help you? I'm going to be really direct. You want to find your who? Call me. I'll give you my cell phone number right now. I will try to help you for free in group, one, whatever I can do to help. But I know tons of people. I don't do what Bucky does. I don't do what David Williams does back there. I don't do what Chris does. And so if you call me, I'm very quick. I have a huge network. I'm one degree of separation from a ton of really qualified people that want to help one another. And so when I listen, and that's why I get referred so much business, because I refer business, and there should be no issue in finding the correct mentor for you. Someone who sits in a situation you want to be in and can give you directions. And so my cell phone, if anyone wants mentorship, call me, leave me a voicemail, tell me who you are. I will call you back. That's the best way. My cell phone is 858-688-3294. I will repeat that. 858-688-3294. Anybody got that? Raise your hand if you have it. All right. Anyone that didn't get it, go to someone who has their hand raised. All right. Perfect. Thank you for calling me. All right. Who's next? Right here first and then you. Yeah.
You just talk about the I am, the power of the I am, God inside of us, right? This is the most powerful thing in the world. And this is very interesting because I was having a coffee with him and he talked about too. And when I arrived here, I could felt your frequency, such a high frequency. And this is the best gift that you are giving to us, because when you can bring this high frequency to others and talk about the I am, the way you said, it's really amazing. The I am is everything.
No, that's right.
Yes, thank you. So she said, I talk about the I am and I carry a frequency. It's something that Bucky and I talk about and relate to each other. When, if any of you want to come to VIP dinner tonight, see Nick, but when you come, Bucky will be there sitting down. And all these people will go up to Bucky and tell him, hey, I think you should help me in this way. I want to ask you. They don't even know him. It's a frequency. And it comes from this idea of I am. See, I am is part of the infinite loop of thought, right? This infinite system, abundant system. And so where, especially Bucky and I, are able and capable to understanding frequency in neighborhood is a lot of people that talk about I am are up here. And they can do a quick jolt, like, you know, a bump of cocaine to elevate your frequency. And then they leave you at that frequency to go back to your life. And your immediate reaction without the appropriate integration is, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to divorce my intimate partner. I'm going to break this up. Like, this is no. The frequency should provide you more awareness of how best you can be married, how best you can do your job, how best you can expand to better and bigger things within the context of where you are today. And it is frequency. If you're wondering this frequency woo-woo bullshit, it is just vibration. And if you want a simple explanation of what we're talking about, everything vibrates. The earth, it vibrates really slow. Minerals, real slow. So I can't put my foot through the earth. And then plants, animals, humans, then sound, and then light, and then thought. But always remember the thing that vibrates the fastest, and the reason we want to vibrate faster is you can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. So vibration and frequency is an awareness. That's all it is, an awareness. Intuition is an awareness. It has no understanding of the 24 hours you're guaranteed today. Intuition has no understanding. So that's why you can laugh at people when they're at the craps table and they're like, $3,000 on hard eight. I always look at the guy and go, you're a fucking idiot. And they get offended for some reason. But they are, because they're trying to tell me that their intuition somehow understands time, meaning it's the next roll. Where me, I put $50 on the hard eight when I get an intuitive thought about the hard eight, and I keep putting 50 on it because I know the universe is telling me, be aware of the hard eight. So I've increased my statistical success of winning beyond the normal odds when you don't have an awareness. And we do that in life all the time. So when you start looking at this frequency as an elevated awareness, awareness allows you to know things like when to buy or sell. It can give you an idea, hey, pay attention to this dummy because something in your future is going to be relevant to this. So every time you see a gray Toyota, pay attention to the gray Toyota because I have elevated my awareness and somehow gray Toyotas are in my awareness. It works. It's the integration, though, between the infinite and the man-made construct of time, 24 hours. And you do get a statistical success from doing it. And it's not woo-woo. This is math and science and physics. They can actually see frequencies of your aura now. They can see your mind vibrations, all of these things. When someone talks about frequency, they're talking about vibration relative to your awareness. We all want to elevate our awareness. That's how I got suckered into meditation. I did not want to meditate. And Dr. Sangeeta Sahi, she said to me, oh, that's too bad because I can teach you to elevate your awareness through frequency or vibration. And I'm like, not interested. I don't have time. I'm Dave Meltzer. I make plenty of money. I don't need you. And she said, oh, that's too bad. I can teach you when to buy or sell. I go, oh, that's worth my time. But meditation wasn't. Buying it, knowing when to buy or sell was. So go ahead and put a construct to it that may give you a purpose of learning to elevate your awareness. Like when your kids are lying to you. Sucks for them, good for me. It's an awareness. All right, good. Next question. Oh, right here, then there.
How do you balance radical humility and aggressive business growth?
I love that.
When you're in an industry, high-stakes industry, which ego...
I think this is the ultimate question that most people have, is how do you balance your radical humility with aggressive behavior in a competitive space? Radical humility is a disposition. It's a predisposition to the aggressive behavior. So understanding that we're predisposed to things that could be influence of our friends, our family, our past experience. So in order to be radically humble, we have to predispose ourselves to humility by giving meaning to our past in a humble way. What is humility? I don't know what I don't know. That's the easiest man-made way I can explain humility. If you can predispose yourself in a very hyper-competitive, aggressive business or industry, career, job, sporting event, whatever it is, if you can predispose yourself to remind yourself, remember and recollect who and what you're collected and reminded to and through, and say to yourself, going into this, I don't know what I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to bust my fucking balls and do my best to do my best towards what I think I know. Now that's how you integrate radical humility with intention. I tell people all the time, surrender is not a balance. It's a harmony. There is no balance. It's just harmony. And so to create that harmony, we have to have the humility in order to be aggressive, in order to use all that energy towards where I want to be, not to get over around through obstacles that aren't really there. You put them there from the meaning that you gave the past, predisposition of the way your daddy treated you, or you lost money, or whatever it is. You put that there. Predispose yourself to humility and align the meaning of the past with where you want to be, and then go get it. That's where I came up with the brand, the Ferocious Buddha, right? I'm a Buddha to start, and then I'm a ferocious MF-er because I always do my best for most of the time during the day. I'm always trying to learn, and I'm always trying to have fun.
Sir?
Let me capture that wonderful.
You might be the only person on the earth that can answer this for me.
Okay. No pressure.
And I don't know if I'm a comedian. I've never done it before. This is my first mic.
Go ahead.
5 minutes, well, 30 minutes ago, I was praying to Muhammad, which I'm not Islamic either, but I'm trying to fund the business that's going to change the world.
Okay.
I texted you earlier and got your robot. No problem. I've got robots too.
You texted the wrong number.
I know. We need to talk offline.
But okay.
Am I following in what you're talking about, which I've never heard your message, but I've been Buddhist. I've been every cult that you can imagine, and I'm praying to Muhammad in the hallway upstairs. Is something going on in my life? Or am I crazy? Because my wife, contrary to popular belief, thinks I'm crazy.
So what happens is, when we think, say, do, believe, or feel something that's out of the norm, people are going to think you're crazy. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to scoff at you. And they're going to make fun of you. And just because what you believe and who you pray to is not aligned with everybody else here. In fact, some of you are probably listening to the question going, this brother is crazy.
I'm also a Jehovah's Witness.
And he's a Jehovah's Witness. My question to you is, why do you have a need to identify how and what you're doing, feeling, believing with so many different things? And so what I would suggest is to extract the identities and think of things more in the matter of oneness and say to yourself, I believe in an infinite, abundant, unified system of thought. I believe in a source that I want to be a resource of. So if my mission here in my human experience is to be the greatest resource that I can, and in my mission, I want to be a great resource to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. I want to be that resource. Well, if my source sucks, that makes me even a suckier source, right? If you're a resource of something that sucks, you have a diverse resource mechanism, and it probably dissipates how much of a resource that you can be.
I've got 2 business ideas that are going to change the world.
Which is great. Stay with me for 1 second. No, that's great. Because everything starts with a great idea. So if you are not a powerful resource, you need to have a powerful source. I don't care what you name it. I can change the name of my source every day. I call it God, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Joseph Smith, Jehovah, Malama, you know, cat, dog. I don't give a shit. But my source is fucking omniscient. It's all powerful. It has more energy. It's infinite. And I'm a resource of that. So my job then, under this meaning that I give my God, I've given my God a meaning, is what am I doing to interfere with it? Because my God's an infinite, abundant, unified system that we all belong to. Therefore, when I'm not feeling like I'm the resource of that type of source, then I'm interfering with it. And I got to take some time not to worry about what my wife thinks. Trust me, if I had a dollar for every time my wife thought I was crazy. But I've learned in my career, so many different times, people laughed at me, scoffed at me, made fun of me, and called me crazy are the same motherfuckers applauding me today.
Asking for money.
When I made my money back, I love the guys going, oh yeah, man, I knew you could do it. Really? Because that's not what I heard. I heard you blaming me for you losing your money. I heard the names you were calling me. And guess what? Thank you for protecting me and teaching me. I'm going to repeat that. I told the people like that, thank you for protecting and teaching me. I had no need to be defensive. I had no need to be offended. It was just, thank you. The guy who created the catalyst for me to lose everything, got into a lawsuit with him and talked so much shit behind my back, was a neighbor and a friend. I walked up to at a Charger game and I reached my hand out and this was his reaction. I'm not lying. That was his perception of the meaning of what he did. I think it's indicative of what he did, of what he felt he did, because he went like this. And all I did was went like this, and I asked for his hand to say thank you. Thank you for the lessons that you gave me in protecting, promoting, and loving me. I've never been happier. Thank you. And I would not be here but for the lessons. You are a great teacher. I would have preferred a different mechanism of study, but that's the mechanism that most people and human beings get to experience. That's why I love telling people, don't waste the struggle. Don't waste the struggle. Learn from the struggle. Last question in a picture, unless you're wanted by the police.
I had a question.
Yes, right here.
So my question for you is, I'm writing a book on networking. I love your videos and everything. Where would you say is a good place to be a value add to communities that are in sales and communities like this, if you want to kind of differentiate yourself in that way?
How do you differentiate yourself in networking in multiple groups with multiple industries, careers, jobs, et cetera, in the aspect of value? So everybody, as far as I know, is not equal. So don't expect you to be treated equally. As far as I know, everybody has one of these. You have one of these? Yeah, me too. Is it the same as mine? This exact same? No, it's not, is it? I don't think anyone has this or this. This one's more common, I guess. Nobody has that. So why do we expect that everybody should be treated equally? What we need to do in order to differentiate ourselves when you're networking, to provide more of what people like, don't take away what they don't like, more of what works, take away what that doesn't work, give them more of what they know, take away what they don't know, is to understand what we're really looking for, which is equal opportunity. And in order to have equal opportunity, no matter who you are, what you look like, we need to do one thing: appreciate the distinctions, appreciate the differences, add value to the differences in our height, our weight, our hair, our eyes, our nose, our mouth, our religions, our politics, our business acumen. We're all so different. You can't treat different equal. You provide different equal opportunity through appreciation. That's it. If I could run on one campaign policy, whatever office it was I run, it would be on, let's all appreciate our differences. Let's just make it a known, we're not equal. But if we appreciate our differences, then we have equal opportunity according to three things: your skills, your knowledge, and your desire. Nothing else. Not your hair color, not your height, not your religion, your politics, or anything else you want to think we need to be equal about. I started a fund called Meltzer Funding. If you are a woman or a woman of color, it's to bridge capital for women and women of color. It does not treat women and women of color equally. It actually prioritizes women and women of color, because I appreciate the differences that women and women of color are a better investment of my money. I appreciate that. So I'm going to put my green behind women and women of color. I don't treat women equally to me. I treat my girls and my wife and other women far better than I treat men. My employees that are women, I treat them better. Not equally, because I want to get more out of them. I want to appreciate the differences of how they're helping me and my family and my business. My wife helps me more than anyone else. Why would I treat her the same as you? It has nothing to do with sex. It's her skills, her knowledge, and her desire. Not that kind of sex. You naughty, 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 naughty. Trust me. I know it's the best 30 seconds of her life. You know?
What are you, a marathon?
Yeah. Anyways. I'm in trouble for that one.
Yeah.
That's the joke my wife never likes to hear. All right. Yeah. So please, that's a great question to end on. You want to distinguish yourself, then appreciate the difference. Do not treat people equally. Give them equal opportunity according to their skills, their knowledge, and their desires, and appreciate the differences and try to align people's skills, knowledge, and desires with what works, what's stable, and what you think is going to work in the future according to the subject matter, topic, or expertise that you need. Family, health, finance, faith, whatever it is. This is the simplicity that we need in our government, in our churches, to appreciate our differences. We are one. Name it what you want. You can have different names. That's cool. But let's appreciate the differences. All right. I appreciate everyone.